You truly are God. And you are God all by yourself. There is no place for arguments. Thank you for the blood. Your victorious blood. There is no contention. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. We worship you. Take your place in our lives and always. Take your place in the nations of the earth. Father, thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. As we are in this time and season,
yes,
open our understanding, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Empower us by faith,
yes,
to overcome fear. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. The Lord made a covenant with Abraham. And he said to Abraham, that covenant is to your seed, to you and to your seed, to all generations. And the covenant came with promises. Amen? Out of Abraham, because of that covenant, will come blessings, protections, favor, nations and all kinds of promises. The covenant carried a lot. The covenant separated the uncircumcised from the circumcision, because the covenant was established by circumcision. So as long as you're circumcised into this world, born again, then you are benefactor to the to the power of that covenant. So, in Abraham's time, that means that God has released a new wineskin in the earth. Amen?
Amen?
So those who understand that covenant, they enter into the benefits and the blessings of that new wine. Amen?
Amen.
Now, David was a young man. Amen?
Amen.
David was a young man from the house of Jesse. Amen?
Amen.
David was a young man and he was working. He was doing his father's job. He was taking care of business as usual. And he came to destroy, to steal, to kill and destroy. To steal from the ship. And of course, he had the capacity to kill David if possible. The bear is not an ordinary animal. So it's not something you can just confront. So the natural argument or the natural reason for David would be to flee and to run for his life. But David understood covenant. And David understood the power behind covenant is not him, it's who he has made covenant with. And David at a young age started practicing the provisions and benefit of living a covenant life. Out of that relationship, what the devil meant for evil became a testimony. Became an experience that David will never forget. Became an experience that laid the foundation that this God of covenants is able to protect and to deliver. And David continued without knowing that one testimony can take you to a new level of breakthrough. A lion came. Isn't the devil? The lion came, something stronger than a bear. But one testimony that you can truly say, God delivered me. God saved me. God healed me. God provided. God did this or God did that. What it does to your faith is immeasurable. David discovered that when the lion came, what went to his mind is, if God can save me from the bear, that same God can deliver me from the lion. The threat of the lion could have made him run. After all, it's just one sheep he's going to eat. But you know, when a lion tastes a free sheep and he likes it, if he's hungry, he will come back again. Amen? So, David trusted God again based on relationship and revelation. And the lion was destroyed. He did not know that the testimony of the bee and the lion will one day put him in a position to begin to deliver a nation. If Goliath rose up, something that brought so much reproach, intimidation to the nation. It was then David made clear where his confidence has been. He says, he's uncircumcised, meaning he had no covenant. And David understood that the same God that delivered him from the bear and the lion is able to deliver him and Israel from the Goliath. Amen?
Yeah.
That is the power of what the enemy meant for evil, how God can use it for his glory. So, in covenant, God is releasing an atmosphere for us to understand that there is. For us to walk in covenant, we must understand a new wineskin. Because the difference between those that are not in covenant and those that are in covenant is a new mindset. Amen?
Amen.
A totally new mindset. And that new mindset opens you up for spiritual empowerment and spiritual breakthrough. That's a new one. To go a little bit further to clarify where the Lord is taking us. As Jesus was ministering and preparing that generation of people and discipling them into what was coming and what they are going to be experiencing, he spoke to them a parable. He was trying to explain the life of consecration. So in Matthew chapter 9, in verse 17, specifically, I just want to read there. This might be this is a familiar passage. In verse 17, it says this amazing image of this parable. It said, neither do men put new wine into old bottles. Or some translations say, neither do men put new wine into old wine skins or old bottles. As the bottles will burst or break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. For they put new wine into new bottles, and both are what? Preserved. Jesus was about to introduce a new covenant. And the old was about to be obsolete. That was that was established through all the rules and laws that Moses brought to the children of Israel. And God is about to bring them not just the covenant of the flesh and circumcision of the flesh, but he's about to manifest sons and daughters living in this body. And so he told them ahead of time. He says, for you to receive the new thing that God and this new covenant and what God is about to do going forth, you have to understand the mystery of mind change, transformation. And he used this illustration because the Jews understand this very well. You can go study a little bit about new wine and old wineskins. Because the old wineskin has hosted wine for a long time. And that old wine has customed the wineskin and made it so strong and rigid, and it is just old and stiff. And it's just... So, if you put in a new wine with the fermentation capacity, it will break it. It will destroy it. To break it. Basically, for us to move forward, Jesus is introducing Israel to a new era that will separate the old man from the spirit man. The flesh man from the spirit man, the old man from the new man. And the relationship that brings. Amen? And he was telling them, a spirit man is about to be born within this old body. And the covenant with this spirit man is going to be a direct relationship with God. And there's going to be an outpouring of the spirit to empower them to be able to walk in the reality of this new experience. For without the Spirit of the Lord, they can do nothing. Amen? So prior to the outpouring of the Spirit, a lot of them were tested, and they found out that the old cannot stand pressure. Peter ran, Peter denied Christ. The disciples ran away under pressure. But you see, after Pentecost, there was no challenge they could not face. There was no confrontation they could not rule over. They literally took this new experience and trample the works of darkness across the world. So, using this as a platform, as an atmosphere of understanding, I just want us to reflect on where we are today and prepare my Zion once again. But before I talk about where we are today, just very briefly, this might give us a little bit of understanding. Amen?
Amen.
Before the digital age, the technology, high-tech age, there used to be monopolies. People who produce cars, people who own farms, or people who have oil wells, and just different kinds of industries. And these monopolies, they were tailored towards building the empires of these people, of course. And they provided jobs for people and expanded across the globe, even the banking industry. But when the technology age came, there was a shift in the wineskin. If you see wineskin in the world as shifting mindset, it will help us understand where we're going. Let's start really fast towards when Microsoft came. When Microsoft, through Bill Gates, established Microsoft for the computer, it opened a new paradigm, a complete new paradigm, and started setting the stage for what the world would call platforms today. A platform is you create a place everybody can stand and be somebody. A place where everybody can stand and their gifts will make room for them. A place where everybody can stand and their gifts will make them anything they can be. But a pipeline is somebody producing something and everybody depends on it, and they are not able to manifest their gifts or their destiny. So, a different group of people started rising and taking the idea of this platform and shifted the balance of wealth overnight in the world. Examples like Facebook established a platform in another level. And what that platform did, it gave everybody opportunity to be somebody, to express themselves, to look at themselves, to have their own media networks. It appeals so much to the world that we have platform. We can say, we can look, we can be. Overnight, platform became making people billionaires overnight. And literally started changing the paradigm of human mindset. After a while, you notice that other businesses that have existed, they can't do much without working with the Facebook or taking advantage of it. And as platform multiply, you can see another group again took the advantage of the fact that this Microsoft, this technology, the computer age is opening new grounds. It's like, okay, why do I limit what I know to just a few people? Why do I not create even bigger platforms and globalize the world in my own platform? So people like, look at, overnight, platforms started creating billionaires. For example, Uber today took technology and established a platform that anywhere, everybody started becoming their own employees, business owners. And they discovered overnight that made them billionaires, because they activated people's giftings and ability to sustain themselves. Apple. Look at Google. All these people created platforms that everybody has to depend on what they have created. So that even in today's world, you can hardly do anything without the ability to understand a digital. The digital world. And then another person rose up and said, okay, if these platforms are making people billionaires overnight and establishing what took people 30 years, some 100 years to establish becoming millionaires, and then their families eventually becoming billionaires, like owners of factories and stuff. People like the man who started Amazon. So let me take this platform to another. They took the technology, they understood what platform is. They say, you know what? Let me take it to another level. And overnight, he took his billionaire level above the rest of them. Because he understood the power of empowering people to using the platform. And people's gifts were coming out. And they used that platform. And the more people across the world are making money, the more they are making money. You can look at it up everywhere you go. Today, because of the power of digital age and the ability to convert it to platform, this group of individuals have literally turned the whole world into a global village. So that somebody who is smart enough to know, to have a gift, can literally become millionaire overnight by just inventing one thing that can be used on the platform, because you multiply your effects to millions of people. Look at the use of WhatsApp today. Amen. These things is the ability God has put in human brain, an ability to create. And once it has been established on the worldly platform, by all means, it will definitely be used for evil and for good. But the God who has allowed it to this capacity, where right now the whole world depends on the digital age. If you don't understand the impact of this, most of you, if you remember, checks was very, very useful in the church at one point. How many people use checks today? If you remember, many of you have house phones. It was very useful, was something to pride about. But today it's more convenient to have your phone with you, isn't it? And then house phone, because of the cheap and the creative use of the cell phone, the house phone has become obsolete. Amen?
Amen.
You can say, I don't care. I just want to remain the same way I am. I want to keep my own wineskin. You find out that, for example, let me use a church, for example. The statistic says that churches that were not foresighted enough to establish online giving or digital giving or some of the giving that was going on, many of them, when COVID happened, they lost more than 70% of their income because they were not prepared for it. Today, many churches, because of the shutdown of the building, if it's not for a platform called Zoom today, most churches will not exist. I heard a troubling statistic that I've not confirmed fully, but I trusted the people talking about it, that about 800 churches today have been closed and their doors are totally shut. Completely shut. I started by saying that David took what the devil meant for evil and turned it to a testimony. Today, there's a metamorphosis taking place based on transformation. New wine must have new wine skin. Or when you see a changing era or atmosphere, you must find a way to turn it to the glory of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
The impact of what I just shared with you by Amazon, by Facebook, Uber, and all these various people that are using these platforms to reach the world. I mean, who could have believed that Uber Eats would become a billionaire company? You were able to take food to people's homes. Who could have believed that men would come to that stage where shopping online would overtake shopping on ground? The Lord is saying that, you see what the world is doing? Is what God is setting up the church to do for the harvest that is about to come. The buildings are not enough for the harvest God is about to release in the earth. And there must be a transformation in the mind of the church to prepare on how to create a platform and no more a pipeline. The church building is like a pipeline. It only has a capacity for that church and for that congregation. And it creates a mindset for that church and that congregation to live in that building sometimes for almost 10 years without increase. And without the capacity to see beyond that building. Another building is on that side, their minds are molded. If they have up to 1,000 people, they think their capacity has come to a full. Another one there of 200 or 300 people. And they pass on that to the next generation. So the church created a pipeline where one man sits and raises a people that just sits in the church. And they fill up the church to a capacity of 250 people. And they celebrate and they dance and they eat and they raise up children. And many of them leave and the church grows and keeps being 250 people for generations. Somebody comes and says, okay, I'm tired of these 250 people. Starts a church on that corner, 500 people. And that could be all you do the rest of your life. And we have almost 8 billion people in the world. You think God doesn't want to reach them? He invested in the world, the blood of His Son. So, when Jesus told the disciples about a new wine skin, He was preparing them for what God is about to do. The Jews refused to receive it because the Jews were the, what we call, church of that day. Amen? They were set on Solomon's temple, the temple that was built. They were set on the synagogue. That's where they live. That's where their mind is. And all they cared about was the Jews. And Jesus says, listen, God is about to shift. And in this shift, if you don't put on this new wineskin, you will not be able to receive what the Spirit of the Lord is going to do. And it happened. And the shift, Jesus said, is not just going to leave the church anymore, only limited to the Jews in Jerusalem. But God was going to do something that would go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth, because it's time for God to reach the rest of the world. So God started that work. The first people that missed it was the Jews. Some of the Jews that He discipled received it. And the work of the church started. The work of the church started. The new wine came, they were eating it, but all of a sudden, as they were drinking this new wine, there was a limitation again on their mind. They already heard Jesus says, when you receive this thing, it will go to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But when they received it, they thought it was just for the Jews again, even those that received it. And they developed a mindset. And the mindset was just the Jews and Jerusalem. Until God sent Paul to scatter them. And in the scattering of them, the gospel finally fulfilled its course around the world. Every time there is a wineskin, and that old wine has been there long, that wineskin becomes a problem for anyone. Today, the devil strategizes, and always remember, what the devil uses for evil, God always turns for good for them that love Him. The devil has strategized, number one, to use technology to control the world and to rule the world. The tech world is about to dominate the rest of the world and rule them. I can walk you through the history of empires and wealth and how different generations ruled. And the people that invented ammunition entered and this and those who started banking and stuff. They are different how they ruled in different dispensations of the world. But now the people that are about to rule the world, science through digital technology. What is an invention now is to everybody is going to be subject to it. COVID is just an experiment. Mm-hmm. And kings are all bowing to it. So God takes inventions that Christians don't want to do, the enemy will use it for good, for evil, and God uses it as a platform for his glory. Amen?
Amen.
Two things happening so far. This platform that the enemy is using and plans to use called the digital age, the social media age, God is going to use it.
Amen.
To reach the whole world.
Amen.
And the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the water covers the sea.
Mm-hmm.
No human being on earth without the knowledge of God. Mm-hmm. And the way God will do it is going to surprise all of us. He's already doing it. But this digital age, this social media, is about to be used by a move of God in a way Satan never thought it can be used.
Yes.
Number two. What the devil meant for evil, God turns to what? Good. The devil, through COVID, number one strategy was to paralyze the church. Forget about every other thing else. The greatest enemy of Satan in the earth is the church. So part of the strategy of COVID and part of the strategy of the satanic rulers of this world is first to scatter and neutralize the most powerful enemy of Satan in the earth, that's the church. But in doing that, the devil will always learn, because he never learns, that when you kill him on the cross, you just destroyed your own power. And resurrection will speak loud. The church right now, globally, in some very major countries, even I hear, they are not meeting. Some churches are closed down permanently. Some, especially large churches, many of them are confused and struggling how to maintain what they used to have. The church wasn't prepared for what we see today. Even believers are not prepared for what we're experiencing today. But you see, just like God used Saul to scatter the church, and the purpose was to reach the world, what the enemy is doing now to reduce the effectiveness of the church from the building is really to increase the capacity of the church.
Amen.
To evangelize the world. Amen. And to disciple the world. Amen. But only those with a new wine skin will understand what this new wine will do with us. There is never any time in history that Satan struck anything about destiny that he did not push him to the place of fulfilling God's plan. He took Joseph and pushed him into the dungeon. But the dungeon was closer to where Joseph was going.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He took Moses and tried to kill him. He put him in the palace. He chased through Saul, chased David all over the deserts and caves. Ended up raising 600 mighty men.
Mm-hmm.
and empowering a king after God's heart. We can go on and on and on and on. But we know that he killed Jesus on the cross, and today, there is a principle. Today, it is recorded that China has about the largest church in the world. Why? Because the enemy tried to stop the church and now decided if you're going to be a church, you have to be a controlled church. So if you live in a building, you must meet the demands of the state. And he gave birth to house churches. Gave birth to underground church. And like something that gives birth, the church started giving birth. To the point today, the underground church in China is the most populated in the world. They are not just church. They are believers.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
So, whatever the enemy is doing right now to paralyze the church, one, is fulfilling a lot of things.
Is right.
Separating the chaff from the wheat in the church.
Yes.
The Bible says when shaking comes, those that know their God, they will not compromise. They will do as well. There are lots of people today from this shaking, they become watered down Christians. The fact that you can't come to church does not mean God is not where you are.
Yes.
A lot of the big churches, the problem a lot are having right now is that the distraction among their members is overwhelming. Do you know digital worship, Zoom, as you're listening, Facebook, all these things? If you're not careful, your Christianity is already being watered down. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't go into all of them because I have a few things I want to run through really quick. God's knows those that are his. When shaking and trial comes, that's when we consecrate and run more towards God than away from him. How do we run more towards him? By consecrating ourselves and being more faithful towards the things of God. Because the purpose of the shaking, the Bible says, many will fall away from the faith. Let me quickly just say a few things, just so you know. Time. Right now, as I'm talking to you, this is not prophecy. This is practical what is happening right now in what we call the post-COVID era. From this house, and through so many people, before COVID, there was so much prophecy about the shaking coming. You know, sometimes when people are not specific that it's going to be COVID, it's going to be this, we just forget. We heard it over and over. From the moment this COVID began, a shift has taken place. It's already happening in the spirit. We're just seeing the physical, and it's going somewhere. So with this transformation, a lot of believers are not wanting to change their mind. The world, some people in the world are not changing their mind, but everything has changed. I use the digital transformation to show you, if you are still hard copy this, and you're not making effort at least to learn a little bit of doing something with your phone, you are going to be handicapped. Amen?
Amen.
The same way today, if we don't shift prophetically and understand that this post-COVID era is a massive change, the world is never going back. The purpose of post-COVID is to introduce technology that will make what you already have obsolete and to narrow the world down to full control. And so, as believers, you must also transition that pattern of change to spiritual things. When the world is changing, you need to change to behold Jesus more than you've been before, so you move from glory to glory. And be prepared for what the devil is planning to do, so that you will be among those that God will turn it for your good. Or else, your wineskin will burst. What is wineskin? People are about to lose their minds because they don't have the capacity to handle the change that is coming. People are about to have heartbreaks. That's wineskin busting because they don't have the capacity, what is inside, to prepare for the change that is coming. What are some of the changes? Practical, not even spiritual. Maybe by now you don't understand why there's a push for vaccine. Very soon, nobody's going to ask you, the world spending all this money, making all this effort, pushing everybody to have vaccine, and now it's very promising they will have a vaccine by the end of this year. The moment a vaccine is in place, they're going to open up the world. But you can't go anywhere until you get a vaccine. They won't let you fly. Just let me give you a quick example. Control and manipulation begins with trials. Today, there are stores and places that says you cannot go in without a mask. That is preparing you and programming you to receive even greater restrictions as time goes. You are surviving without it today. You can take things to keep your health. You can be wise about what you do. You can social distance, which is the promise. There are just so many things you can do to be wise. But to be mandatory for you to be a mask, I'm not saying anything against it, but I'm just telling you, you never kill any smart thing immediately. You kill them slowly. So, it's already clear. When there's a vaccine, they have to know who has taken it and who has not. In a digital age, you have to, there are measures that have to be taken to be able for to know who has taken or not. All those are leading to some loss of control. So if you as a believer, you don't have a new wineskin, a relationship, an understanding of the times, you won't know how to adjust when to submit and when not to submit. When to yield and when not to yield. Right now, there's nothing wrong wearing masks if you're asked to do this. But then, is wearing masks already programming you for other things? You know when to say no. Economy. I don't know if you want the government to tell you the economy is doing well. The government has to do that because it's the government. But if you put 1 + 1 together, you know that America's economy is standing on 1 foot. And the other foot is about to be struck. Who will be your source? Is your mind, do you have the new wine, the new wineskin, or the new wine? Talking about you're born again, but do you have enough of the Holy Ghost or relationship, understanding of the word for you to be able to handle these transitional things in peace, in understanding of the times? Economy is shaking. You can look at it in the news. Uprising is just beginning, and you can see what is already happening. A lot of people go look here, search your news. People are leaving big cities. Businesses are leaving some big cities. It's just a beginning. Are you prepared for it? You can't handle some things in the flesh. You have to have a new wine skin. You have to have a new wine. Before a new wine skin and a new wine, Peter was told by a little girl, "Hey, I saw you with Jesus. I saw you that he cursed. He cursed 3 times. Deny Jesus three times. Because that wineskin was not ready for where God was taking them. Some of us are not ready because we don't want to change and we don't want to accept adjustment towards more of God in this season. Election. Ever since America's election, nobody has seen anything like it. It's in the news. Our president just said a few days ago, let's postpone the election. When people start suggesting something, there's a plan. Do you know what it means? Just the thought of all the paralyzed ideas of making this election fair is out of the window right now. Are you prepared for the outcome of what is going to happen from now till then if election doesn't hold or if election holds? Right now it's public news. The nation is divided. And the words are coming out of the people clear, not even figurative, that the results will not be accepted. Clearly, whether it's Democrat or Republican, are you ready for that? As a believer. Or when these things happen, your wineskin bursts. It's called heart attack. You lose your mind. It's called pressure. My brothers and sisters, the church, whatever has scattered the church is for the purpose of entering the platform that God has established. Just like every example I give to you, Facebook discovered something when something was moving away. Apple, Uber. God has a plan to reach the world regardless of the buildings being closed. Passion. We must find out how. And some of that God is revealing to us. Today, as we close, just to awaken you to this season, we need to make sure we have a new wineskin. That's number one, born again. If you are not born again, you're going to be born again out of desperation. But this is the best time for you too. Two, if you're born again and you have no oil in your lamp. In other words, you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. What do you mean? It's not speaking in tongues. You need to understand that your source is God. Your trust is in God. Your helper is God. Your protection is God. Your provider is God. Does it mean that you don't have chariots? You have chariots. Does it mean you don't have jobs? You have jobs. Does it mean you don't have other? No. But if your source is not God, what if those things you rely on are shaken? What will you do? 30 to 40 million people today. No jobs. And if not for the government subsidy going on, what do you think will happen to those people? Do you know right now why the suicide rate is not being mentioned? Go look at the statistics. People are dying of suicide. Out of fear. And nothing has started happening yet. The new wine skin about being born again and filled with the Spirit is not for you to be defeated. It's not for us to be defeated. It's not about a building. It's about entering into what God is about to do. It's about finding what God is doing. It's about yielding to what the Spirit of God is about to do and using this world's platform to reach the world. And God is about to do that in a very powerful way. Just since we're talking to Mount Zion and as many that will hear it, thank God, God is beginning to position us gradually. On a corporate level, we are taking the school of ministry serious. That is one way of empowering, of filling the wineskins that are here, energizing them, positioning, preparing them. The school of ministry. It's not just a school, is an empowerment process. Fellowships. Home fellowship was the secret platform that was given birth to in the book of Acts. That was the way the church was able to maintain the capacity of the influx of souls. And that's Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47. That was the basic principle. They still met in the temple, but the temple was too small. Didn't have the capacity. And then when they started going from Judea to Samaria to the end of the world, it was house fellowship everywhere because there was no churches there. They started building churches later when the Roman, in all those cathedrals and stuff, eventually it was mostly house churches. When Jesus said the church of Simon, the church of Laodicea, he was talking about all the home fellowships or the buildings or the churches that are in the city. He was calling the church as the city because they didn't have all this mega there. And mega churches don't produce disciples unless the mega churches that understood the principle of have fellowship and cell groups. Mega churches produce overfed congregation that sits and just think, this is the building, we live here, we eat, we go back, and we die and go to heaven. The purpose of discipleship is that every believer is able to disciple somebody else. What is discipleship? If I have Jesus, somebody else needs to benefit from what is in me. Today, our mindset has imprisoned everything we have. Believers don't witness anymore. Believers don't share their faith. We don't even... That's what religion has done to us. But discipleship... So, in this dispensation, God is raising up his church anew. And the church is about to reach the world through home fellowships, through discipleships, that we're going to be sharing these strategies as we go. Every believer will be able to share their faith, and somebody is going to come to the knowledge of God through that process. Individually, I want to encourage you, especially in the season we're living in right now, please build your faith life. Have a personal devotional life, a personal relational life. Ask yourself, if you know Jesus, if you know him, begin to develop that personal time with him, because he's going to be your shepherd and he will not fail you. Amen. He's going to be your protection. It's going to be your wisdom. It's going to be your guide. Begin to build your faith life through a life of consecration. Start learning how to miss one meal a week. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'll tell you, there will be food scarcity at some point. I'm not sharing that, but there will be. Because of the shaking and where things are going. So learn to live a life of consecration. So that if you're not eating a pizza for a day, or if you're not eating lunch or dinner, you're not fainting. Condition your body for a life of fasting. And of course you eat, amen? But fasting also creates humility. Build up your food pantry, just in case. I've told you all that before. We go into much details later part of this week and why. Part of this month. Build your health. Start doing exercise. Start eating well. Start doing what it takes. Take vitamins. Do what it takes. Just build your health. Once your health and immune system is strong, you are likely to fear and be overwhelmed by the propaganda of all that is happening. Amen?
Amen.
But if you eat hamburger 3 times a day and drink milkshake before you go to bed, add some food for the next day. Amen? Don't just live on junk food. Amen. My brothers and sisters, things have changed. We are living in uncharted grounds, uncertain area, and faith always wins. So I want to encourage you. Take heart what I'm sharing with you and shift. This is a post-COVID era. And this is God's season. Shift. Begin to apply these things. We'll be sharing more with you. Amen?
Amen.
And to finish, the mystery and the secret of covenant. If you will understand that by being born again, I shared about David, you have covenant with God. What does it mean, covenant? You are born of God. You are a child of God. If you start studying that identity now and understanding that that God will keep you, will protect you, he says this is not a time to put confidence in princes. This is time to put confidence in God. God will use princes, but let your source not depart from God. And the covenant you have with God will give you that security and covenant. So as we take communion today, I want to call my beloved wife, in whom I'm in covenant with, if you come. Church. We're going to pray. The life of David has revolutionized my life of covenant. And this sharing of Jesus about covenant, the season we are in today, the revelation of covenant is the secret to everything. When God shook Egypt, it was because he says the covenant I made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and it made a difference between the children of covenant and those that are not. So today, know that you are a covenant child. God will fight for you. God will keep you. God will protect you. God will provide for you. He will be your good shepherd. I tell you the truth. It's a promotion time. I am excited about this time, not because of the other part, but because how God will promote his people. And you are one of them.
Amen.
Because of covenant. Amen?
Amen.
Shall we pray over the bread? Father, we thank you so much for the privilege we have of standing today to say we are indeed children of covenant. We come to renew our covenant with you today to say you are our God and we are your people. Lord, as we renew this covenant today, we just want to thank you for your death, for the death of your son, for what he brought to us through his death. We reaffirm that today. We thank you for what you did. We say, Lord, let it be made manifest in our lives. As we partake together, Father, bind us together as a church. Build us up. Strengthen us, O God, by your body. We receive with gratitude in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Covenant keeping God, there is no one like you. Alpha, Omega, Jehovah, there is no one like you. Father, thank you. It is your covenant. The days of Noah. Till today, the rainbow tells us you never break covenant.
Yes.
Your covenant with Abraham still stands.
Yes.
And because of your covenant, Israel will never depart from your eyes.
Amen.
Your only son, our Lord. And that covenant, because of your covenant, you are jealous over your church. And everything you've spoken will come to pass.
Amen.
So today, as we take this, we know we are not alone. You who kept Israel will keep us.
Amen.
And because of your covenant, we are heading for promotion.
Amen.
Our health is secured.
Amen.
Our protection is guaranteed.
Amen.
Our victory is finished on the cross.
Amen.
We thank you.
Thank you.
Our provision is you, our source.
Amen.
Thank you for all you have done. All you continue to do.
Yes, Lord.
Your covenant unites us.
Amen.
And you bless us as we gather in unity.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.